gathered here, not unto any man, but unto you, Lord. And we are here to hear your voice, not a man's voice. Spirit of the living God, we pray that as you have promised, that wherever two or three people are gathered in your name, you are there with them. We are gathered here in your name, and we pray that you will be here with us, Lord. Minister to our heart. Minister to our needs, O God. Let us not leave your presence the same. Touch us, O God. Let us be transformed by your power, by your presence, by your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So this month, we have been discussing the last things that Jesus Christ did before he left the earth or before he was crucified. And you know that every man's last words are very important. And so the last things that Jesus Christ did might have been very important to him. And so it's a good thing to really study the man, Jesus Christ, knowing that he had just 1 week on earth. The things that he did during that 1 week are very important, might have been very, very important to him. The first one we saw was that Jesus, in his last 1 week on earth, one of the things he did was to go inside the temple and cleanse the temple and kick out all those money changers, kick out all those corrupt people who were taking advantage of his people. The next thing we saw that was last week was that he had a last supper with his friends, with his disciples, with somebody who knew that he was going to be arrested a few hours after that time and be crucified. Sitting down and eating would have been the last thing on his mind. But it was important for him to have that last supper because it was a replacement of the old covenant. We saw last week that the supper was to replace the covenant that was there in the Old Testament. When they had a covenant in the Old Testament, they sat down and they ate meals. And they used the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. But Jesus was replacing the Passover of the Jewish people with the Last Supper. And that was why it was important. And he launched the new covenant on that night when he had the supper. And so today we're also going to see one thing in the book of Mark. After he had entered Jerusalem, the Bible says that the next day in Mark chapter 11 verse 12, the Bible says that on the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. The fact that Jesus was hungry means he was a man. Men get hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he will find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. You know what? When you read this scripture, you wonder why Jesus Christ, first of all, you have to look at the man who did this action or the man who is speaking. This is the man who has all wisdom. We will not expect Jesus to just get angry over little things like this. But there was a message behind the action, and that is why that is what we should look for in what Jesus Christ did. I mean, if you go to a tree and there's no fruit on it, you just stand back and go, right? Why should you get angry? Ordinarily, you wouldn't expect somebody to get angry at that. And being Jesus Christ, being God, there's no way he would just get angry at the tree, but there's a message behind what he did. The fig tree is a representation of Israel and the religious people of that time. They had all these religious things going on, but no fruits. And in John, the Bible tells us that if you don't bear fruit, you'll be cut off and then you'll be thrown into the fire. So the action that symbolically Jesus Christ was speaking to the nation of Israel, which is a representation of the fig tree, they were just there. They're doing all the religious things, but had no fruit. And God does not want us to get to the point where we are in the religious flow, but we don't have fruit to show as Christians. Don't just go to church. Don't just have your devotion. Don't just do all those things without fruit.
when it comes to your relationship with people, when it comes to how you relate to the community. Even as a church, God doesn't want us to just come here every time and meet and not have a fruit in the community that we live in, not touch the lives of the people. And so it's not enough to be a believer and say you are a Christian without fruit. Again, it was an opportunity for Jesus Christ to teach the disciples a very important principle. And so Jesus was not just angry at the tree for not getting food to eat. Of course, this is the man who created all things. If he wanted to command bread from heaven, he would have been able to do it. And so it's not just because he didn't get fruit and he was angry and he cursed the tree. But he was teaching his disciples an important lesson. And symbolically, he was speaking to the people of Israel. Because he had entered Jerusalem, which was the seat of like worship. And he had just gone into the temple and cleansed it, saw all the people who were doing all those religious things, but were not really loving the people. He had already confronted the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who were only concerned about adhering to the law and not really demonstrating love to the people, who were just forcing people to obey the law, but they themselves were not doing what they are telling the people to do. So they had all these religious things going on. And that is the leaves that you saw, but no fruit. So there are Christians who have the leaves all around them, but they don't have the fruit. And Christ doesn't want us to be those type of Christians. And that is why it was important for him to take this action in his last days. But that is not the focus of my message today. Not the fruit. I just had to say that. But let's move on to Mark chapter 11. The Bible says, so this is the next day after Jesus Christ had cursed the tree. He said, the Bible says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So he answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you receive them. That is the lesson he wanted to teach the disciples. He cursed the tree. Peter, being a very good student, the next morning was observing to see if there was going to be any difference. And he saw that the tree has started drying up. So he pointed out to Jesus Christ. He said, look, the tree that you cursed yesterday has started drying up. And Jesus said to them, have faith in God. The literal translation is, have the God kind of faith. Your faith has to be like God's kind of faith. And he says that, for assuredly I say to you, whoever shall say to this mountain. So whatever thing that represents an obstacle in your life, whatever thing that represents a mountain in your life, what does Christ expect you to do? Say to the mountain. He says, whoever will say to this mountain, there might be things in your life that are mountains, that are blocking you, that are stopping you from being who you are, that are stopping you from getting to where you want to get to, or what God has ordained, or where God has ordained for you to get to. And what does he expect? He doesn't expect that you start crying, oh God, look at this obstacle, I cannot do anything about it. Look at this thing that is stopping me from moving forward. Look at this sickness. He says, say to the mountain. And Christ spoke first of all to a tree. And you might think that it doesn't even make sense to speak to a tree. But the Bible tells us that actually the tree heard what Christ said. And it responded to what Christ said. And so the Bible, when Christ told them, go out and preach to all creatures. Some people say that translation is wrong. But the Bible is saying exactly what it wants to say. Preach to all creatures. Everything that has been created has an ear to hear your voice. When Christ came, he spoke to the storm. You would think that the storm cannot hear, but the storm heard Christ and obeyed his voice. And so there might be things in your life, there might be situations, problems in your life, and you think that, oh, I can't do anything about it. What does the God kind of faith expect you to do? The God kind of faith expects you to speak. In the beginning, Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I'll come back to the book of Mark. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, Bible says, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. The God that we know is a God of order. There was no way God was going to create an earth and a heaven that is without form and void, that has darkness all over it. And so theologians believe that between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, something happened. There was a move that happened. Some people have placed the fall of the devil between Genesis 1 and Genesis chapter 2 because we know that God is not going to create something that is without form. And when God saw the darkness, he didn't just scream and say, oh, look, every place is dark. There's nothing I can do about it. And this is not what I want. I want something better. God did not just scream. God did not just cry. He didn't start whining. He didn't start complaining. Oh, that I'm powerless. I cannot do anything about it. What did he do? The Bible says, and God said. So the God kind of faith speaks to things. The God kind of faith, when he faces crisis, you speak to those crises. When there's a problem in your life, you speak to it till you see it move. And that's why Jesus told them that if you have the God kind of faith, you shall say to this mountain. That is the way God addressed problems. God addressed problems by speaking to the problems. And so we have to be people who imitate God. If we are children of God, we do things the way God does them. When God sees a problem, he speaks to it. Whenever Jesus, when Jesus was on earth, when there was any problem that he faced, he spoke to the problems. When there was a sick person, he spoke to the sickness. When there was a storm, he spoke to the storm. Everything that Jesus Christ ever did on earth, he spoke. And that is why, as a child of God who has the Spirit of God, what you say is important. You know, people will jokingly say, oh, I'm dead. Oh, I'm dying. Those things shouldn't come out of your mouth. You should be very careful the things you say. Some people will go, oh, dude, I'm dying today. You are not dying. Those things shouldn't come out of your mouth. And that's what the Bible says, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Which one do you want, life or death? And the Bible says that, and those who love it will eat the fruits thereof. And so which of the fruits do you want to eat? Is it life or death? And so it was so important that in the last days of Jesus Christ, he taught the disciples this lesson, that you must have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. And that's the whole thing. As a good teacher, as a skillful teacher, he took his time to use the tree as a symbol and speak to his disciples that if you will have the God kind of faith, you will speak to the mountains in your life. You will speak to the mountains that are going to come after I have left, and they are going to be moved. Did the disciples learn from him? Yes, they did. We can tell from the book of Acts. When Peter saw the man who was sick, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. So Peter learned the lesson of speaking to things, speaking to situations. They saw the man was crippled. The Bible says that this man had never walked in his life before. And Peter did not say, oh, we can't do anything about it. Oh, we are so sorry that you are in this situation. We hope that one day things will get better and everything will be fixed. Or one day you just die and go to heaven, as some people believe now. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none. It's good that he didn't say silver and gold have we none. Because at that time he was walking with John. John was with him. But he said he doesn't have silver and gold. That's fine. Maybe John had some. But he said, silver and gold have I none, that such as I have, I give unto you. He knew that he had the name of Jesus Christ. And so he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. As children of God, when we come across situations, what God expects us to do is to speak to the situations. And that's why it's important to speak positively. Now, a lot of people have now started teaching speaking positively. And it has even, they took it from the Bible, but they have made it secular now.
Yes.
And now they just say, speak positive. And sometimes some people even stand in the pulpit and it's all about just speaking positive. No. You speak positive with your faith in God, not in your own ability, not in your own power, not that you are just expecting those words to change something, but the Spirit of God behind the words that you are speaking is what is going to bring the transformation. What is going to bring the results is the Spirit of God behind the transformation. The Spirit of God behind the word will bring the transformation. Every one of us here has the Spirit of God inside of them. And so when we speak words, we charge the Spirit of God to put those words to work. And so when God said, let there be light, the Bible tells us that the accomplishing force, which is the Holy Spirit, took the words that God spoke. And the Bible says there was light. In the midst of that, the darkness, when there was darkness, everything that God ever created, He spoke words. Words. The only thing He created with His hand was man. That is why man is so important to God. There is nothing on earth that is compared to man. Man is the most valuable thing God created. And so let's not compare anything to man. Because God took His time to create man with His own hands. Bible says He formed man. Apart from man, every other thing He just spoke them into being. And so the Bible says that God spoke things that were not present. He spoke them with His words and they came into being. So the things were not present. There might be things in your life right now that are not present that you want, that you would love to get. What do you have to do? Have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. Speak to things. Speak things into being. We must understand that our salvation as believers, how did we get saved as believers? Through words. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart that Christ died and rose again, and you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. And so when you believed in your heart, what did you do? You confessed that Jesus Christ, I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. Those words brought you into salvation. And you know that you got saved by believing and confessing. And so if something as important as salvation came through your confession, your faith and your confession, then what else can you compare to your salvation that you can't speak about or you can't speak into being? Because the Bible tells us that everything has been finished, has been accomplished. And so if your faith, if your salvation is based on confession, is based on your faith and your confession, then you must understand that your confession as a child of God is important. The things you say with your mouth as a child of God is important. Not only when you come to church, that okay, I'm in church now, so I must be mindful of the things I say because God is here. But the truth is that God is with you every time. The Spirit of God is with you every time. And that is why you must not say careless things about your life, about your health, about your family. You must not say things like that about yourself, because you are somebody who has God with you and you have an escort of angels with you. That's how powerful you are. That's how important you are to God, that He has angels with you. He has His Holy Spirit inside of you. And that is why you must not release your words carelessly. You must be mindful of the things you say. If you have kids, you have to be mindful of the things you say about them. You say, oh, this boy is a stubborn boy. Oh, this boy is a bad boy. No, those things, you don't say those things about your kids. No, they are good. You always say positive things about them. Say good things about them. Because if you are mindful of who you are as a child of God, you know the Bible says, wherever the word of a king is, there is power. Somebody like the president, for instance, he'll come in public and speak anyhow. No. And that's why if you have a president who speaks anyhow, there's a problem. Because somebody who has been given power and authority, everybody expects you to speak in a certain way. Because you have power. Because whatever you say, people are going to obey. And so wherever the word of a king is, there is power. So a king sits down and tells his subjects, do this, and they'll do it. When you read the Bible, when you read the book of Kings, you see how powerful the kings were. They can just command, go and kill an innocent man, and the people will go. Because wherever the word of a king is, there is power. And we are in a kingdom. We are not in a democratic rule. Unfortunately, the world we live in today is convincing us that you can be a democratic Christian. That you can become a Christian and still decide the things you want and the things you don't want from the Bible. But that is not true. If you are in a kingdom, whatever the king says is final. In every kingdom, the word of the king is final. And so when you say that, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Lord means you are my owner and everything you say is final. And so we don't get to debate and choose the things in the Bible or things that God has said that we want to obey and the things we don't want to obey. No. As people who live in the kingdom of God, whatever the word of the king is final. And the Bible says we have been made kings and priests. We understand that. So as children of God, we are kings and we are priests before God. And that is why your words are important. Your words are powerful. Your words carry power because you are a king. You are a priest. You have been made a king and a priest. So don't use your words carelessly. Don't say things anyhow. When there are problems in your life, continue to address them with the words of your mouth. Having your faith anchored in the word of God, speak to your situations. And so whenever you read this story of Jesus Christ approaching a tree and speaking to the tree, don't just think about the fact that he wanted fruit to eat. That the cattle on the thousand hill belongs to him. He could have commanded bread. He could turn stones into bread. And so it's not just an issue of wanting food to eat, but there was a greater lesson he wanted the disciples to learn. And that is to have faith in God. Because he knew that after he had left, there were going to be times that the disciples had to pray and to expect God to respond. And so he was teaching them how to pray and how to change situations and how to change things around them and the problems that they are going to be confronted with. And the disciples learned the lesson. We can tell by the things they were able to achieve after Jesus Christ departed. And so he told them, when Peter pointed out that, look, the tree that you cursed has withered away. But Jesus answered, have faith in God. He wasn't even bothered about the tree again. He wasn't speaking about the tree again, but that was the lesson he wanted to teach them. The lesson he wanted to teach them is have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. And he says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever will say to this mountain, there might be mountains in your life this morning, don't appear helpless before your mountains. But, oh, I'm just waiting for time to pass by. And one day, I'm going to die and meet God and every problem will be gone away. But he has put power in your mouth. The Bible tells us that the word of God is quick and active. The word of God is powerful. And so what God wants us to do is to have this word residing in our heart. And once the word resides in your heart, the word has a dwelling place in your heart, then everything you say is in conformity with the word. And as everything you say is in conformity with the word, there is the power of God that is backing your words. And so this morning, you must understand that God has made you a king and God has made you a priest. And the Bible says, wherever the word of a king is, there is power. And so wherever you speak words, there is power that supports your words. So you could be attracting negative power or positive power. But you are a child of God. Hence, since you have angels supporting you, they are at your call, waiting for you to speak those positive words. And so make it part of your character that you don't speak negative words.
concerning people, concerning things, concerning yourself. You know, people, you hear people, oh, I'm going to die today. People say that, oh, I'm going to die. Oh, I'm dying. Oh, I'm weak. Oh, I'm tired. And that sometimes sounds polite. Some people being polite or being nice. But those shouldn't be your words as a child of God. You understand that you are creating your world with your words. Just like God created the whole world. If everything in the world was created with words, then words are important, so important in the affairs of the world. If everything that God has created, He did it with words, then words are so important. Words are more important than currency. It's like when you know that everything here you have physically here, you bought it with money. So money is important, right? And so that's why everybody goes to work every time trying to get money, because you need money to be able to buy all these things. And so if God created all these things with words, then words are so important. The most significant and important spiritual currency is words. And your words are not just empty words, but words based on your faith in God. They are powerful. The word of God in his mouth is as powerful as the word of God in your mouth. And that is why Jesus gave us an empty blanket. A blank check. I'm trying to use the same two different words. He gave us a blank check. He says, whatever you ask in my name. And so when you ask anything and you say in the name of Jesus, it means I'm not coming in my name, but I'm coming in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm coming as if it was Jesus. That's what it means when you say in the name of Jesus Christ. Saying this is as if Jesus Christ is the one speaking. So he's given us his name, that this is my name. And whatever you do in my name, that if you say it's in my name, that you have my support, you have my backing. And the Bible says that God has given him a name that is above every other name. So at the mention of the name of Jesus Christ, heaven and earth responds. Heaven and earth supports that name. Heaven and earth will obey the name of Jesus Christ. And so whatever thing you say in the name of Jesus Christ, you have the backing. We need to catch this revelation. There might be things in your life. There might be crisis in your life. Problems that you are going through in your life. Speak to the problems. If the tree had Jesus Christ and responded the next day, then the problems and the things that you're going through, they will respond. Even if they don't respond the next day, keep speaking. Keep speaking to the problems. Because we can tell from the Bible that every problem that Jesus Christ encountered, he spoke words. Every miracle that Jesus Christ did, he spoke words. Everything that God ever created, he spoke words. And if Jesus Christ was the example of God to teach us how to live on earth, and when he was dealing with situations, he spoke words, then you must speak words to situations. So your confession, when I hear people say positive speaking, I know that as a believer, it's not just an issue of positive speaking, but speaking faith in the word of God, with my foundation in the word of God. Because as a matter of truth, everything, most of the principles you see out there in the world, secular people, they are from the Bible. Most of the principles that the secular people use, they have their roots in the Bible. But now, the people have used it so much that it has sometimes even become unattractive to certain Christians. There are certain Christians that these things have become unattractive to them. But you see, everything that we do as believers, like I said the other time, must have its foundation in the word of God. And if God does things that way, we can also do things that way. And so Jesus expected the disciples to have the God kind of it. And he says that if you speak to the mountain, to this mountain, and say be removed and be cast into the sea, that is like something that physically is so impossible that a mountain will fly and get into the sea. But Christ says that if you speak to that mountain, using that as an example, as a metaphor, to speak to them that even if you speak to this mountain, it shall be moved. It means nothing will be impossible if you speak. And that's why he says,
I say to you that whoever says to the mountain, say, so your words are important. The things you say are important. Say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. And that's what the Bible says. If you believe in your heart and confess. So keep saying it. Keep saying the things that you keep saying, the truth of the matter is you tend to believe them. When you keep saying them, keep saying them, keep repeating them, you will believe them. And so, even if you are sick and you tell yourself that I am healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I believe that I'm healed. Keep saying it. Keep saying, when a man of God says, sometimes you need to have a meeting to yourself and speak to yourself. Speak, addressing the situations that are going on in your life. Talk to those situations in your life. It won't cost you anything to do it. And that is why we pray. That is another way of praying. When you command things around you, you are praying. You have power and you are doing those things in the name of Jesus Christ. So when Peter saw the man who was sick, he said, he didn't say, oh God, please, I pray that this man will be healed. But he says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And so when you see a problem in your life and you tell the problem, in the name of Jesus, this problem is gone. In the name of Jesus, this sickness is gone. When you are speaking those things, you are actually praying. And it's actually a very good way of praying. When you speak to those situations in the name of Jesus, it says that you don't have to doubt in your heart. And the word of God is what brings faith in your heart and takes doubt out of your heart. And that's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So don't focus on all the other reports that you have heard. Focus on the word of God. There might be evil reports out there in the world, evil report from the doctors, evil report from everyone. But what does the word of God say? The Bible says, who has believed our report? There is a report. That is the word of God. The word of God says that I am healed. The word of God says that I am whole. I believe the report of the word of God. And so you have to fill yourself with the word of God. We cannot overemphasize this. As a child of God, you need the word of God indwelling in you. And that's why the Bible says, let the word of God dwell richly in you. Richly. You must be rich in the word of God. You must make time that every single day, let me get some word in my heart. Don't just carry your Bible without reading it. Don't carry the Bible up without reading it. You must be deliberate. Good things will not come by accident unless you are deliberate about it. If you want to build anything that is good in your life, you have to be deliberate that this is good. I want it. Don't just wish for it to happen, but be deliberate about it. One thing that I found very useful is when you join with other people to, for instance, say that you're going to read the Old Testament in 100 days. It is so good. That you now, everybody, each, you are relying on, that's what the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. So we are reading the whole of the Old Testament in 100 days. So you don't just get the notification from the app, but you know, like the two other people that you have agreed with, they are all reading. And whenever the other person finish reading, the app will allow you to write some notes and then submit it so that the others will see that you are finished reading. Not just that, but that inspires you. It keeps you on. It keeps you going. And it's a good thing for us to do. If you feel like you are so busy that you cannot make that time to do it alone, you can work with other people, other friends. Come together. We want to read the Bible in 100 days. Or we want to read the Old Testament, for instance, in 100 days. We want to read the Bible, the whole Bible, in 6 months. But every good thing that you ever build in your life, or every good thing that will ever happen in your life, it's a deliberate action that you take. If you want to see a good change happen in your life, it has to be deliberate. And so the Bible says that you must allow the word of God. Let the word of God dwell richly in you. As a child of God, you cannot be empty of the word of God. It is not a good state for you to be held empty of the word of God. It means you are unhealthy. Like every person who is underfed, they are not healthy. And so if you underfeed your spirit and your soul with the word of God, you are not a healthy person, a healthy child. So you must continue to feed your spirit with the word of God. It is so important. As you continue to feed your spirit with the word of God, you build up faith in you. That is when the words you speak begin to have an effect on your life and on your environment. But don't speak negative words. They are of no good to you. They don't bring anything to your life. They don't add any good to your life. So don't speak them. That's the truth. If you say bad things about yourself, about your health, about your children, about the things around, they don't add anything to you. They rather take away from you. So say positive things. Say good things. Say what the word of God says about your kids. Say what the word of God says about your health. What does the word of God say about your health? Say it. Don't say what the doctor is saying about your health. Don't just repeat the report you have about your health. Say what the word of God says about your health. Don't repeat what others are saying. Speak the word of God. Amen. And so Jesus Christ was teaching them this important lesson. And he tells them, have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. And let me just take the scripture. Maybe I spent too much time with this one, but let me just take this last one. And then we're going to close. This is one of the verses that really spoke to my heart during COVID. That is Mark chapter 4 verse 14. Really spoke to my heart during COVID. I was reading this and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me on this verse. But Mark chapter 4 verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, we are crossing over to the other side. That was the word he had given them. Let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in a boat. And and other little boat were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him up and said, teacher, do you not care that we perish? Most of the times, that is how we feel. That's how we think. God, do you not care that I'm in need? God, do you not care that I have this problem? Oh God, have you forsaken me? Have you forgotten me? Oh God, have I done something wrong? What have I done wrong? This is how we speak sometimes when we are faced with crisis, as if God does not care about us. But the Bible tells us that God cares every single detail of our life. Is God powerless not to save us? Is God powerless not to heal us? No, he has all powers. He can deal with that problem. He can deal with that situation. But what does he want you to do in that situation? That is what you have to find out. Instead of complaining and throwing your hands in the air that, oh God, do you not care that I'm going through this thing? Jesus Christ had already given them his word that we are crossing over to the other side. So no matter what happened in the midst of the crossing, he has already said that you are crossing to the other side. And that word was enough. And so when he gave his word, he said on the same day in the evening, he said to them, let's cross to the other side. He went to bed because he has given his word. And he knows that when he has given his word will come to pass. So he went to bed. But again, one lesson we learn from here is that even though he has given his word, it does not stop the storms from coming. So you have the word of God. You have faith. You believe in Jesus Christ. You will think that as soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you are done with the devil. He cannot attack you. Nothing wrong will ever happen in your life again because you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. So these guys were right there with Jesus Christ. He has given them the word. So they would have assumed that, oh, as long as he has given us the word, there is no storm on us. Everything will be calm. But there were storms. Even though Christ was present with them, the storms. The storm did not just say that, oh, this man is here, so let me just stay quietly. And that is why there might be things happening in your life. Even though you are a child of God, you believe, but things are going to happen in your life that are not what you expected, that are not what the word of God has said. How do you handle those things? And so, look at how usually we handle it the same way these disciples handle this case. They said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Most of the times, that's how we feel. God doesn't care. I'm in so much pain. God does not care about me. But Jesus Christ arose. Then he arose and rebuked the wind. So Jesus Christ spoke to the wind. Today, if somebody is speaking to the wind, you might think that, oh, why would a person talk to the wind? But the Bible says he spoke to the wind. He arose and rebuked the wind. It might be wind. Yours might not be a natural wind, but a situation in your life. When you speak to those situations, they are going to respond. So even though you speak to the situation today, it doesn't respond. The next day, it doesn't respond. For 1 month, you are speaking to the same situation, it doesn't respond. Keep speaking to the situation. Because that is how God will handle things. So you handle things the way God will handle them. Please, does what I'm saying make sense? Because you are doing it the way God will do it. When God faces crisis, when Jesus Christ is going through a situation, he won't just raise his hands and start complaining. He will speak to the situation. So even when you speak to the situation and it looks like it's not changing, you are handling it the way God will handle it. And that is why we pray about things. So when Jesus Christ rose up and rebuked the wind, and he said to it, "Peace be still," and the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" This word spoke to me during COVID. It's Mark chapter 4, verse 40. "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" A lot of Christians have become so fearful. And where there is fear, there cannot be fear and faith at the same time. Where there is fear, there is no faith. But God wants us to live in faith, not in fear. So a lot of people came out with this word, fear over faith. So which one do you choose? Wherever you see that you are afraid, it means you have no faith. So build your faith in that area. If you are afraid about, if something happens and you are fearful about certain things, build your faith in that particular place. Study the Bible concerning that particular situation. So Jesus Christ was not excited that these guys came to him complaining. He was expecting them to act the same way he was going to act. So he, after rebuking the wind, he spoke to them. Why? He said, "Why? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And this is not a nice, like, this is not Jesus Christ praising them for doing something right. He said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" So he wants us to have faith, to be filled with faith, and not to be filled with fear. And the way he handled it, he wants us to handle situations, things that happen in our lives, the same way. So as a believer, the way you handle things, Paulette, can you think something else? As a believer, the way you handle things are very important. The way you handle the things that you go through, the situation that you face, are very important. The things you say when you go through crisis are very important. Believe in God. Have faith in God. And speak like God. Handle things like how God will handle them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 to 13, the Bible says that, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak." So when you believe, being quiet about what you believe is not enough. Speak what you believe. If you believe that by his stripes you are healed, you speak it. If you believe that all things are yours according to the word of God, you speak it. So speak what you believe. Don't speak what other people are saying. Don't speak what others have told you. Speak what you believe. The Bible says that we are of the same spirit of faith, and therefore we believe. We believe, and therefore we speak. So what you believe is what you must speak. So if Jesus Christ took time to teach these guys this last lesson, because every single thing he did in that last week must be very important. And so if he took time to teach these guys this lesson and send this message to the people of Israel, then it must be important to our Christian faith as believers that we must be fruitful Christians, and we must also learn to have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Shall we bow down our heads in prayer? There might be words that you have spoken carelessly. Today, you just want to say that every single word that you have spoken carelessly that has impacted your life in one way or the other, or impacted somebody else's life, you cancel those words today. You neutralize the effect of those words in the name of Jesus. Every word that we have spoken that are having a negative effect on somebody or on ourselves, today, this morning, we neutralize the effect of those words. Open your mouths and begin to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bring our words before you, Lord. Words that we have spoken. Words that do not qualify to be spoken by kings. We cancel those words right now in the name of Jesus. Every negative word that we have spoken, every word we have spoken affecting people's lives negatively, Lord, we cancel those words in the name of Jesus. Every word that we have spoken that are affecting our lives negatively, Lord, we cancel those words now in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus, we negate the effect of those words. We cancel the effect of those words right now in Jesus' mighty name. Now we want to speak words affecting your situation. Address those situations. Everything that comes to your mind right now, address them with your words now in the name of Jesus. Address every situation, things that you want to see change, with your words right now in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we speak to every problem, every storm, every situation in our lives right now. In Jesus' mighty name, we speak to the storms to be moved. We speak to the storms to be silenced right now. Let there be peace. Let there be stillness. Let there be the soundness of mind. Let there be the soundness of body. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, every problem under the sound of my voice, I speak to it right now. Let the problem be resolved. Every pain in the body, I speak to you right now. In Jesus' mighty name, be gone and never come back. In the name of Jesus, I speak to every situation right now. Let it be resolved. Let there be peace in every situation. In the midst of every storm, let there be peace in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says God has given us a sound mind. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Everywhere there is an absence of a sound mind, I speak into that situation right now. Let there be a sound mind. In the name of Jesus, we replace everything that God has not given us with the things that God has given us. In the name of Jesus, we call it done right now. We receive joy, we receive peace, we receive patience, we receive gentleness, we receive self-control, we receive long-suffering. These are the things that God has given us. We receive them into our lives. God has given us good health. When He died on the cross, He said, "It is finished." The Bible says that by His stripes we were healed. We receive that right now. We believe it and we confess it. In Jesus' mighty name, sickness has no part in our body. Sickness cannot dwell in our body. In the name of Jesus, we condemn sickness. In Jesus' mighty name, our spirit is whole. We have a sound mind. Our body is whole. The Bible says that the spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will quicken our mortal body. Anything that is dead in our body right now is back to life through the spirit of the living God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we call it done. Amen. All right.